Last year, Ann and I walked the Camino de Santiago. We flew to Paris, and then we took a train to Bayonne, and then another train over to a small village, Saint-Jean-Pied-du-Pont, where we started our adventure. We got to Saint-Jean and went to the pilgrim office. It's a common takeoff point, and they had a big pilgrim office there, and we went in and got our very first stamp in our book, and we were all excited and everything, and they had scales in the pilgrim office. And the gentleman there, through a series of points and grunts and whatnot, my friend, not good, indicated that we should weigh our packs. So we came back and we weighed our packs, and he just shook his head. Too big. So we had our first pack purge. And we went through, I mean, before we left, we were taking the absolute minimum, nothing extraneous, the bare minimums. But in our first pack purge, we found, I think, about 4 kilos that we could release. So, you know, that's 8.5, 9 pounds, something like that. So roughly 4.5 pounds each. That doesn't sound like a lot. That was huge. We released a lot in our first pack purge. You notice I said first pack purge. We had two more, and I think we would have had a third after that at Soria when we got down to the final 60 miles. By then, we pretty well knew what we were going to need and what we didn't, but we also had the confidence to know that we could go ahead and carry it, and we made a conscious decision to do that. But my point in this, and this is a metaphor for how we are, as we sit here in the final hours of 2017, we can either decide to carry a lot of the baggage that we've had for the previous year on into 2018, or we can have our own pack purge, and we can release a lot of the stuff that we have been carrying around for the last while. The title of my talk today is, What Are You Packing? So this is a good time to look back and reflect on what has happened in the last year and to look forward to 2018. Now, how we do that is going to have a great impact on our ability to enjoy life itself. If we look back at 2017 and prior with an attitude of negativity, if we look at that, what's gone on before, with the woulda, shoulda, couldas, oh, I should have done that. Oh, if I only I could have done that. I would have done that. If we look at this with regret and remorse, we are laying a vibrational platform with which to look forward and produce more of the same. But if we can instead look back at that previous year, if we can look back at what we've done and not beat ourselves up over it, if we can forgive ourselves, if we can look at what has transpired and forgive ourselves, and on the things that we did maybe not as well, things that produced outcomes that were not favorable to us, that were not moving in the direction that we want to go, and release those things. And the things that we did do well, the things that did move us in the direction that we wanted to go, those are the things that we can embrace and say, I want more of those. The negative outlook on life. Ernest Holmes wrote, life is an adventure in which we never know what is going to happen just beyond the turn of the road. But too often, our today is filled with regrets over the past. If we could convince ourselves that the limitations of the past need not be carried into the future, what a happy outlook we should have. Let go. Let go of the past. Let go of the woulda, shoulda, couldas. Ernest Holmes, later in the same chapter in Living Science of Mind. We are all human and we have all made mistakes. The starting point for creating a better future for ourselves is to deliberately free our minds from the mistakes of yesterday and feel that they need no longer be held against us. They need no longer be a liability. That doesn't mean that we can't learn from our mistakes. That doesn't mean that we can't say, that didn't work out so good. That decision did not help me at all. And then we can make a decision, a conscious decision, to choose differently in the future. Once again, Ernest Holmes, too often our minds are so burdened because of the mistakes that we have made that we do not take time to forgive ourselves and others and start over again. And so it is wise to occasionally review the past and try to find out just what we have been thinking and doing to create this burden in our minds. Because our thoughts have created our today. And what have we done to create that? So what can we create when we're looking forward? And I think one of the most important things, and if we don't get anything else out of today, I hope you'll get the idea, the concept, that the universe is continually conspiring for your good. There is not a punitive, vindictive God up in the sky, a white guy with a beard, that is judging you with, underneath his thumb and ready to squish you like a bug because you made a bad choice. We are punished by our bad choices as soon as we make them. And we're not punished by some faraway deity. We're punished by ourselves, by our own choices. Once again, Ernest Holmes. Unlike, this is in a paragraph he was talking about Jesus and the disciples. Unlike those around him, meaning the disciples, he knew that God or divine spirit wishes only good for everyone. He knew that we are all rooted in pure spirit, in perfect life, and that any moment we can so unify ourselves with the power of good that evil will disappear from our experience. We can so unify with that goodness that is inherent in each and every one of us that any of these negative things, conditions that we experience in our life can fall away. It's always conspiring for us. So how do we go about creating what we want in the future? We set our intention and we know that we are worthy and that good is flowing to us now. And we have faith that this is so. Use an example. Car headlights. Everybody has car. I think almost all of those cars have headlights on them. Today anyway. And we drive at night and we turn on the headlights. Those headlights only shine out, what, about 100 feet, even on bright? Well, in 100 feet, you can't stop. You can do very, very little. That's one of the reasons we have so many moose deaths on the highways, cars hitting mooses, because they pop up within, you know, that short distance, and you can't stop that fast. But we go down the highway with faith. We go down the highway with the firm belief that a giant chasm has not opened up in the middle of the Seward Highway and you're going to fall into a 50-foot hole. And we do that every day. And every day I do that. Now, I don't, you know, consciously say, I know there's not a 50-foot hole in front of me on the Seward Highway, but I do it automatically. I just operate with total faith that knowing that I'm overdriving my headlights, but that I'm not going to fall into a giant hole. Fifth Ernest Holmes quote. See, that's why Linda got away with not using Ernie as a quote. But since today is the only day in which we live, and yesterday has forever passed, the change that we need to make within ourselves must be made today. And so we have to live each day as though it were complete and perfect within itself. We have to live each day as though all of the joy there is in the universe were ours now. And we have to live each day as though all of the joy we ever expect to experience were ours now. And we can have faith that this good will manifest. The stories of this are numerous within the Abrahamic tradition. I didn't look at other faiths, but I'm more familiar with the things in the Abrahamic tradition, and so it was easy to pull the multitude of examples of people stepping forth in faith. First one that really comes to mind is Abraham himself, when God came to Abraham and told him to pack up and move. Now, that took a great deal of faith. He had a good life. He had servants. He had cattle. He had money. He had all kinds of things. And to give it all up and pack up and move. I could just see if I went home to Ann and said, you know, God told me we need to move. Where are we moving to? I don't know. Hey, God hasn't told me that yet. Well, is it going to be a warm climate? Do I need to pack warm clothes? I don't know what kind of climate it's going to be. I don't think she'd probably be in favor of that. I don't know, but I don't think so. Esther went to go before the king, and I don't even remember the tribe. They're the Canaanites or somebody, there was a really bad guy, and he had been able to get the king to put in a law that had that all of the Hebrews were to be killed. And so the Hebrews, knowing that Esther kind of had an in with the king, said, hey, you need to go tell the king. This is not a good law. You need to change that. But also at that time, if you appeared before the king and he favored you, he'd hold up his golden rod and whatever you wanted to be granted, and it'd all be good. If he didn't like you, down went the golden rod and off went your head. So it took Esther a great deal of faith in order to do that. She started off with the what ifs. What if he doesn't like me? What if he got out of bed on the wrong side this morning? What if? And all of those had that consequence. But then she had the faith. Then she stepped forward in faith and said, I don't care, because this is what I am here to do. This is what I am supposed to do. And she stepped forth and talked to the king, and he didn't cut off her head. Instead, he repealed the law. Joshua crossing the Jordan River, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And all the men are carrying this Ark of the Covenant, and they're getting ready they're going to drown in the Jordan River. But God said to do it. They had to have the faith that they would be able to do it. So as soon as they stepped into the water quit flowing. And they walked across the Jordan River on the dry stream bed and came out the other side. But it was their faith that allowed them to do that. And it is that faith that we have to have, that universe is indeed conspiring for our own good. Not trying to punish us, not trying to beat us up, that the universe is conspiring for our good if we can only accept it. One of the best examples of this stepping forth in faith is the story of Jesus walking on water. And that's really an interesting story because it's in three of the canonized Gospels. The only one that's not in is Luke. And that's interesting because Matthew and Luke both borrowed heavily from Mark. And this is one that Luke didn't even touch. In fact, the only place where Peter walks on water is in Matthew. It isn't in John or in Mark. But in Matthew, Jesus is walking on the water, and he calls out to Peter to join him. And Peter said, whoa, you mean I can do that too? Absolutely, yes, you can. So Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. Now, there was a big storm going on, and at first Peter was fine, but then the wind was coming and the waves were coming, and he started getting nervous, and his faith began to ebb, and he started to sink. And the more he sank, the faster his faith started going away, and finally he had to call out, "Lord, save me." But Jesus' reply was, "O ye of little faith," and he saved him. But it was only as he lost his faith that he could no longer walk on water. I haven't been walking on water. It's hard for us to have that level of faith. It's hard for us to really believe that that good is flowing to us right now. We feel we have to earn it. We have to be rewarded. We have to be good enough. It's hard for us to believe that that is flowing to us now. And thinking of a story of how that is, what I came up with is GPS. When we went back to the convention in North Carolina, probably tell a little too much here, but I always, you know, it's been on our bucket list for at least 20, 25 years. We wanted to go back to New England during the fall and do a foliage tour. And I think it's probably a little second childhood or whatever that's called, midlife crisis. Always wanted to rent a fancy sports car and drive through New England and look at the leaves. Yes. So, you know, the universe is conspiring for my good. I've found I could get a fire engine red Camaro for cheaper than I could just a regular car, than a regular rental. I'd had it for 2 weeks for like $500. Wow. Oh, and that car was awesome. I mean, the pipes on that, they are, bum, 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 bum. You know, the kids were looking at me. Yeah. Look at the old grandpa. And it came with a GPS system in it, which, oh, how old I am. You know, there are no maps. You can't get a map anymore. There are no maps. You have to have a GPS if you're going to find this thing. Well, what was it called? I wrote this down. Route overview. As part of this, it'll give you a route overview, and that is, and you, I never did figure out, how are you going to look at the route overview if you're driving? Now, it's one thing to be talking on your cell phone while you're driving, but man, you're trying to read the route overview, but it tells you, you know, go 9 miles, turn right, go another 2 miles and veer to the left, and you know, it gives you directions on how to get there in a big format. But meanwhile, you've got this lady in there with a really irritating voice telling you, you know, where to go and what to do. Been having a lady tell me where to go for a long time. But this, what is it, the route overview. If you're not looking at the route overview, you get no feedback as to how you're doing. You're just going out. You know, go 9 miles to Johnson Road and turn right. Well, you go about 8.5 miles. You're busy looking for a Johnson Road to make a right turn. You don't get any positive feedback. And, you know, I sure would like it if that gal with the irritating voice had come on and said, "Don, you're doing good. You're on the right path. You're halfway there." Or, no, you don't get any of that. And that's a lot like the universe. The universe doesn't step in and give us positive feedback. But just like the GPS, the universe will slap us up alongside the head when we get off course. Now, if you get off course, redirecting, and I'm wrong. I mean, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And one time, we could see our destination right over there, but there were fields between us. I couldn't take that Camaro across these fields. Redirecting, and it finally took me around the field and got me to where I was supposed to be. But the universe is like that. It doesn't give us feedback, and it doesn't it does reroute us. And when we make those mistakes, when we make decisions that are not for our highest good, when we make decisions that are not taking us in the direction that we want to go, we get immediate feedback, just like redirecting. And we are at choice as to how and when we reroute. We are at choice to continue making the same mistake, and boy, we do that a lot. Or to change our thinking and move forward. But I think it's important, too, to note that we have to take action. We can't just sit there and wish for something good to happen. And what hit me on this, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. You're not going to walk on water if you're still sitting in a boat. So in order to make those changes, you've got to get out of the boat. At the convention, it was the first morning, and I was a little nervous. I've never been around that many ministers at one time in my life. And we'd finished our breakfast and kind of milling around in the lobby of the hotel, and the main meetings were over in the Asheville Center for Spiritual Living, John Waterhouse's church. And you had to get there. Well, Don couldn't just go that morning. I had to go a day early and reconnoiter and take the route and listen to the gal and give me the directions, found out where I was going to go wrong, and no, you have to take the back door out of here to get on this little, you know, two-lane road, because if you just follow the GPS, you're going to go out to the freeway and there's no exit. So I learned all those things and I knew what to do, so I was confident on how long it'd take me. And there were a group of us sitting in the area outside the restaurant, and I happened to overhear two ministers behind me, and I wasn't eavesdropping, but I couldn't help but overhear. And one minister says, "Well, do you need directions to get to the center?" And the lady says, "Oh no," she says, I'm good. She says, "I've got the address. I've got my GPS, and I've got my GPS override." And the other lady says, GPS override? What is a GPS override?" She says, "It's my husband." That's a true story. Judith knows about pack purges. I think she's had a few. So here's what I want you to take away today. Here's the takeaways for today. Finish up with 2017 tonight. Don't bring anything with you that you don't need or want. Number two, look back on this year and embrace your successes and reroute when you have made mistakes. And remember, a new beginning starts right now. And I'll leave you with one last Ernest Holmes quote. "Even as what we did yesterday set the law of life in motion to create what we are doing today, so what we are doing today sets this same law in motion to create what will happen to us tomorrow. What we did yesterday is carried over into today only because we give our consent to it. What we are thinking and doing today can create the kind of tomorrow that we wish to experience if we will change our outlook on life." And so as we go into 2018, let's embrace that what we did well, and let's let go of that which we did not do as well, the things that did not take us closer to our destination. Reroute. And so with this concept that we can choose again, that we can do something new, I invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in holding our congregation in love and light, and just simply knowing that indeed the universe is conspiring for our good in this and in every moment, and that every problem that we perceive, every situation that we see as less than, has a divine solution. I speak my word now for those who are filled with fear of lack and limitation, of not having enough. We just simply know that we live in an abundant universe, and a universe that is so abundant that we can't even begin to count the stars. And most of those stars are galaxies, which are enormous. We can't comprehend the infinite nature of that universe, and it is at our disposal. Every need is already met. I speak my word for those that are facing health challenges, knowing that as we live and move and do all the things that we do on this earth, in each and every one of us is a blueprint, a pattern that is perfect. And it is that perfection that I call forth now. A pattern of perfection for each and every person that is suffering a health challenge. And lastly, I speak my word for those who are faced with relationship challenges, whether they be work-related, romantic relationships, family, it's all the same, because our relationships are to God. As individualized expressions of the Most High, we have that God DNA within each and every one of us, and we have the capacity and the ability to relate to one another in love. And so we just allow God's love to dominate our lives. And so we just give thanks now. Magnificent day. We give thanks for our awareness of the power, the presence of God within our lives. And we give thanks for our awareness that God is conspiring.